As we were singing that song, I was reminded of the story of Joseph in the Bible. You know, he had this dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. And maybe against his better judgment, he shared that with them. He finds himself in a pit, finds himself sold into slavery, finds himself in Egypt away from home. And then he has favor. And then he finds himself in prison. And then he has favor. And then he finds himself ruling basically the most powerful nation in the world, second in command, right? Every war he wages, he will win. And I woke up this morning with this thought in my head that says, my flesh and my heart may fail. I'm like, that's got to be a scripture somewhere. And so I dug around, and it is in Psalms, and it says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. And as I was kind of processing for prayer time this morning, the words that I heard were, everything that we deal with, everything that we fall into, every mindset that we have is just our heart and our flesh failing. Sickness is just our body failing. But the rest of that verse says, but God is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever. And that image for me is, you know, seating myself, pulling myself up to the table and just being given the biggest portion of insert whatever. For me, it's chocolate cake. So we find ourselves in situations where our heart and our flesh are failing. And we invite you to send those in to us at prayer@restore.church. There are several of us that love to stand with you in those things and rejoice with you in the things that you've seen victory in. Some of the things that came in this week for prayer requests are physical healing, successful harvest and safe harvest for the farmers, and healing from infertility, and then healthy pregnancies. So we want to take those things to God this morning. And I think we want to take those things to him along with our praises. And the one big one that we have right now in this body is the way that God has blessed us with 5th and Madison. And we want that to also be a prayer that we may bless the community and bless the people that God brings our way there. And so if you would just join me in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the way that you are our portion, the way that you want to bring healing in areas of sickness, that you want to bring wholeness to our mindset when it is not right, that you want to bring peace and joy where there is no peace and joy at times. God, we pray for physical healing in bodies, for the requests that have come in this week. We pray for healing of infertility, God. We pray for healthy pregnancies. God, we pray for a successful harvest and safety on the roads and in the fields for all the agriculture in the area, God. God, we thank you and we praise you for opening a door for us at 5th and Madison. We just pray a blessing over our time as we complete the work that needs to be done there. And we begin to prepare ourselves for the real work that needs to be done there. We love you, Lord. We praise you for your name. We praise you and thank you that you are all we need. That you provide a way where it doesn't feel like there's a way at times. And that you have our best interests in mind, God. Thank you. for the way that you love us and continue to bestow your blessings upon us, God. And be with us in those times where we feel like things are out of control, where things are not going our way, and just give us peace and joy and hope, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Morning, everybody. My name's Gene. I'm part of the team here at Restore. I don't know whose baby's crying, but I want the mom to know that that's perfectly fine. We have nowhere to go, so just relax. I mean, babies will cry, and as it turns out, we have no lobby. We have the alley, and we have a nasty restroom downstairs. That's the only place a mom with a crying baby could possibly go, and we don't want them to go either one of those places. So if you have a baby this morning that is fussy, it's all good. We're all in this together. Well, welcome to week number 2 of this series of collection of talks centered around the idea of fear. If you're human this morning, you have experienced fear. This morning we're going to be talking about the fear of failure. We're going to tap into the Word of God to speak to us about this subject. And all those of you on Facebook Live this morning, we're grateful you're part of this. Welcome along with us. So last weekend we launched this series. We looked at the fear of rejection. This, for many of us, is a debilitating fear. This idea that we have that we're never good enough, that no matter what situation we step into, there's a strong possibility that somebody's going to reject us. That every decision we make is a decision that puts us into a vulnerable position that just may bring about rejection. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're focused on the big, giant steps in your life, and because they're big and giant, you can't imagine that you could actually be successful in that big step forward. But how about you take small, courageous steps, one at a time, and you'll gain victory in those small, significant steps, because you can do hard things. You and I, we can do hard things. If you take a moment and reflect on your life, you've done some hard things. And out of those hard things, those small steps that really feel like a giant leap forward, they're just small steps in the whole scope of your life. They're small steps that if you reflect on them, you'll get courage from the hard things you've already done. Philippians 4:13, one of my favorite verses, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The problem is with this thing of fear, this emotion of fear, is that we hear voices in our heads, right? You thought you were the only one that heard voices in your heads. We all hear them from time to time. You're not so unusual. These voices will tell us that you're too scared to try that. You'll always fail. It will never work. You don't have what it takes. You're going to flunk. You're going to fail again. That's a stupid idea. Don't even try. Don't even try. That's a really stupid idea. Just give it up. Have you heard those voices? Have you heard those voices in your head trying to dissuade you from taking what may feel like a giant step forward? It's just a small step. Have you heard those voices that have said you can't even take that small step? Hold on. You're going to screw it up again. I wonder what you would do if you knew you couldn't fail. What kind of risk would you take in your life if you knew the chance of success would be 100%? There's no way that you can fail. What would you do? What would you do in your life What would you do with your life if you knew that you would not fail? That's a legit question. But not many of us take the time to think about that. What would I do if I knew I wouldn't fail? I wonder what you're afraid of this morning. What gives you pause? What absolutely freaks you out? You are so scared of something. What is it? And I wonder what your level of fear is right now. If you were to, last week I asked you the same question, I wonder where you've been in this week. Where have you determined that fear controls me? I can't step forward into the next thing because I am too scared. I wonder what your level of fear is this morning. Last week we talked about rejection. Some of your fears spiked to about a 10 when we started talking about it, right? I wonder where it is this morning. Well, let's start this morning with the scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. The Bible says this: God has not given us. What has he not given us? Say it with me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. See, fear does not come from God. And God wants us to replace our fear with faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And as we begin our talk this morning, this conversation around the fear of failure, I believe with all my heart that some of you are here in this space this morning, in this very moment, and you're going to hear the word of God in a way that you've never heard it before. And the Spirit of God will touch your life. He'll touch your life in such a way that some of you will actually surrender your entire life, your whole heart. Maybe you've segmented your life and you've surrendered part of your life. This morning, I believe some of you here will submit your entire life to him. And you're going to be transformed. You'll never be the same. Some of you are living in a place of disobedience this morning. You're sitting here knowing what you need to do, but you've not done it. And God is calling you to take a step of faith. And today, as you hear his word, he will stir up faith within you, and you'll be moved into a new level of obedience, radical obedience to his ministry. And I believe that there are those of you here that are wrestling with the call of God on your life, not just to live your life on cruise control, but to actually do what he's asking you to do. You're going to start a business. You'll get the education. You're going to say yes to stepping into ministry. And at the very least, you're going to say yes to being his representative in the life that you live right now. The factory you work in, the farm you farm, the parenting that you're doing with your kids, the office that you're in. All of us have a sphere of influence that this morning, I believe you're going to step into a greater level of faith so that you can bring Jesus into the place that you live. This means taking a step out of your current circumstance, out of the comfort zone you've built, and into the world of faith, where you're going to try to accomplish. Maybe you'll fail, but it may be the next time that you succeed. But you're going to step into greater depth of relationship with God. And you're going to accomplish some things that you never thought possible because the presence of God is in you. The presence of God is empowering you to succeed. Now, these are just words that I'm giving you, right? Except these words are words from Scripture. The power of Almighty God resides in these words. And because the power of God resides in us, when we say yes to Jesus, you have what you need to withstand the enemy. Because right now, some of you are saying, yeah, you're kidding. That's not me. I can't succeed. I have failed so many times. I've tried and tried again, and I have not succeeded in my life. And the enemy is saying to you right now, he's talking about somebody else. Because you're not that guy. You're not that girl. You have not stepped into the hard places because you know you'd fail when you get there. What if you don't measure up? What if you're not good enough? What if you try, but once again you fail? He's tapping into this great fear that you have of failure. If you're taking notes, write this down, because at one point or another, everyone fears failure, every single one of us. And at one point in our life or another, fear, the fear of failure is debilitating to us. But the good news is that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. All right, so let's just start from the place to, and real this place and realize that the fear of failure will cost us far more than most of us realize. Jesus told this parable, and it helps illustrate the cost of the fear of failure. He told a story, and many of you know this story, but he told the story of a guy who was going on a long journey. He was going on a long journey, and so to kind of take care of what he, his fortune that he had amassed, he called three of his guys in. He had some people. He called three of his guys in. And to one, to the first one, he gave 5 talents or 5 bags of silver. Now, I've always wondered, maybe you have too, what is a talent? Well, it was a form of currency. So whether it's a 1 talent or 1 bag of silver, depending on what translation of the Bible you read, you get different versions. But in today's currency, 1 talent is the equivalent of $400,000. So sit on that for a minute. The guy that you work for says, come on into my office, I'm leaving, and I need you to take care of some things. And he hands you 5 bags of silver, 5 talents, totaling, what is that? Like $2 million, right? So I always thought, yeah, he just gave him a couple dollars and away he went, right? No, seriously, this is a big deal. This is a picture of what God puts inside of us and what we do or do not do with it. So he gives the first guy 5 talents. The next guy comes in, he gives him 3. The next guy comes in and he gives him 1. All of this based on what he believed these people were willing to do, able to do with these talents. Well, the story goes that he leaves on his journey and the one with 5 doubles the investment. The one with 3 doubles the investment that his master had made in him. The one with 1 talent, here's how the scriptures read it in Matthew 25. They're all coming in and they're getting their reviews, right? They're getting an assessment of their performance. Verse 24, then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid. What did he say? I was afraid. Say it with me. I was afraid that I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. This third guy, he was paralyzed with fear. What do I do? I've got this money. I've got this investment my master put into me. What do I do with it? Well, I'm just going to bury it. I can't do anything with it. I'm too scared. I'm afraid, he said. The fear of failure paralyzed this guy. And so that which he guarded, he ended up losing in the end. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. There's no need to take our talent and bury it. He's calling us to greater places, to greater things. He's calling us to exercise what he's placed within us, the gift, the talent, the silver that he's put inside of us. He's asking us to step into those places we're scared of, that we live in fear of, and actually exercise our gifting and become all that he's called us to be. I heard this story about a guy who owned a bunch of monkeys, right? And anyone who owns a bunch of monkeys is probably going to do some unusual things. So this guy was no exception. And one day, he took 4 of his monkeys and put them into a room. And in this room was a tall pole. And at the top of the pole, he put a bunch of bananas, right? So picture it, 4 monkeys in a room with a bunch of bananas. They're coming in, right? And they're jumping around, looking at the bananas, and finally one of them starts climbing up the pole. Well, the owner of the monkeys was ready for him, and he had a hose, a water hose ready, and he sprayed him as he's coming up. And what does the monkey do? Of course, he scampers back down again to get away from the water. The next monkey climbs up, looks at the bananas, and starts scampering up. Same thing happens to him. The water hose hits him. And so four monkeys in the room, they all try to get these bananas, and they all get doused with water. Finally, they're all just sitting there looking at the bananas, realizing that this is no good, that we should not go after these bananas anymore. And so the guy thought he would do an experiment. So he takes one monkey out, brings another one in that had not had this experience with the water yet. So this monkey comes in and he's like thinking, why are these three sitting here? There's bananas up there. So he starts scampering up the pole. What do you think the three monkeys did that knew what was going to happen? Yeah, they went over and they started pulling him down. No, 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 you don't want to go up there, right? He looks back at him, says, what is up with this? I'm getting those bananas, right? So he scampers back up again. Again, they pull him back. Finally, he just stops because they've said, you don't want to go up there. Those bananas, you're going to have a problem if you go after them. So there's the experiment continues, and he brings another monkey in that has the same experience. And finally, he keeps trading monkeys out, and pretty soon, no one in the room, no monkeys in the room, even know what they're afraid of. They just know that you can't go get those bananas. But they have no idea what they're even afraid of. They're just afraid to try. Whenever you sense God calling you to take a step of faith, to take a risk, you can be assured that there will be all kinds of people that will try to pull you down and tell you that's not possible. And they'll tell you all the reasons why it won't work. They will encourage you with words like, it'll never work, you're no good, you failed last time, you tried that, and I tried it, oh, it failed, so it won't work for you either. It's a stupid idea. You might as well give it up. Listen, don't let someone else's failure or someone else's fear make a monkey out of you, right? Don't let someone else's failure or someone else's fear keep you from going to the places that God's called you to go. As we talk about the fear of failure, I'm going to have to admit to you that, again, just like last week, rejection was a big one that I dealt with in my life. The fear of failure is a big one too. But here's the thing. I mean, there are days when I hope that you never, like, if I reveal too much about myself to you, there is this deep-seated fear that you'll discover I'm a fraud. Like, that's the enemy speaking to me, and I know that. Because so many times in life, I have thought, yeah, I'm going to go do that, but if it's successful, I hope they don't find out that I'm just faking my way through it. This is not true of me. And it doesn't need to be true of you. You just need to identify where that voice comes from. And if it is the voice of truth, receive it. But if it's the voice of the enemy, dispose of it. You have the power of God within you to say, no, 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 that's not true about me. I am not a fraud. I am who God says I am. And he says, I am well worth the blood that was shed on the cross for my sin. And that's true about you as well. Early in my life, I had done something that I don't remember what I did, and I don't remember how old I was. I just know that I was about this tall in my mind. I was about this tall, and my dad was a giant. He's not that tall. But in my mind, you know how it is. When you're a little kid, everybody is so big. But here's the memory in my mind, and I'm telling you this story because sometimes we need to remember, we need to experience things in our lives that give us courage to step into the places that we fear. So I don't know what I did, but I in my mind's eye, I am sitting on the front steps with my dad. We had a breezeway in our house, and the steps going into the kitchen were just short. I mean, they weren't tall, there weren't many steps, but we were sitting there. And I had done something that I knew I don't know what I did, like I said, but I was in trouble. And so I sat there with my dad, and I wanted to say I'm sorry for what I did. But have you ever tried to form a word in your mouth and nothing comes out? So I sat there, and this is, I'm nervous right now, right? Because this is what I remember myself doing. I'm squirming, because I know that what is ahead of me is probably some form of correction that I didn't really desire to have. So I, Dad, finally the words came out, and I was able to say, "Hey, Dad, I'm sorry about that, what I just did." And I've often wondered if this wasn't the moment where I gained confidence and courage to step into places that might be a failure. I don't think my dad even remembers this, but you know what he did? He just put his arm around me, pulled me in close. I don't know that he said anything. But that moment still makes a 56-year-old cry, because it is so significant that people that we look up to, that we hear the words of God through them, if they're words that are true and right and good. But if we are close to people who will speak death to you, will curse you, will not give you what you need to succeed in life, we need to be able to identify that as well. Take the good, absorb it, pull it in close. But those things that will wreck your life, you need to be able to put up guardrails around you. You need to say, no, that is not true. That is not the Spirit of God speaking right now. I won't receive that. But I'll tell you what, if somebody says something that is powerful in your life that puts you on the right path, step into it, receive it, remember it. Don't forget, because you're going to get into circumstances where you absolutely don't know what to do next. And if you can lean in and say, I remember my dad pulling me close. And in that moment, the courage I had to say what I needed to say, that's going to be replicated, because I received a surge of confidence and courage in that moment. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you need to do next. For some of you, you've got a vision to start a business, but you're afraid. What if the financing doesn't come through? What if it doesn't work out? So you hesitate. And some of you, one of your greatest desires is to share the love of God and the intimacy of a covenant marriage. And yet you've been burned in the past by relationships, so you're afraid to try again because you don't want to get hurt. And I don't blame you. Some of you know that God is calling you to tithe, to worship God with 10% of your income, to live at a level of generosity that you have never done in your life. It's been unprecedented in your life. But you're afraid because of the fear of the unknown. Look, every one of us fears failure. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. And today I pronounce, I declare, there's freedom in the house. There's three biblical principles. I'm going to breeze through these quickly, so take notes. They're really, really good ones. The first one, to overcome this fear of failure, recognize that you're going to have a fear of failure. It's the way it is. But you don't have to live in a place of fear. You don't have to submit to it. Just embrace it as part of your growing process towards success. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this in James 3, verse 2. He says, "Indeed, we all will make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Look, we all stumble, right? We all stumble. And boy, I tell you, this thing of words that we say, that's an easy one for us to stumble on. And early on in my life, in my early teen years, I had the spiritual gift of cussing, and it was not pretty. But when I came to Jesus, I had to pull back and go, wow, I don't think this is of God. And I prayed, and God delivered me from that affliction. If you have an issue like that, men or women, Rodney Atkins did a song a long time ago, it's, I don't know what the title is, but it's "I've Been Watching You," and it's a story about a little kid who's been watching his dad, and he does what his dad does, and he uses words that his dad uses, and his dad didn't realize that was happening until his little boy said it. I'm just telling you that be aware, because what you do can be replicated in other people's lives, and for some of us, the fear of failure and this idea that I have to be perfect and I can't screw it up. Well, that's just not true. We all do. So when you fail, feel the disappointment, but don't feel the disapproval. Okay, be disappointed, but don't accept disapproval. God still loves you. And just because you fail at something doesn't mean that you are a failure. Failure is an event. Failure is an event. It's never a person. Do you hear that? Failure is an event. It's never a person. You yourself will fail, but that doesn't make you a failure. What was Peter known for? The Apostle Peter was known for some of the biggest mess ups in the Bible. But you know what Jesus did? Peter denied him 3 times. And you know what Jesus did? He looked at him and he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus did not give up on Peter just because Peter gave up on himself. God still infused him with everything he needed. And one day, Peter gets up and preaches and 3,000 people are saved. Powerful moments in Peter's life. One day, he was in the boat with 11 other guys. And guess what? Peter's the one that gets out of the boat. And yet, Peter failed because he took his eyes off of Jesus and started sinking. We look at that story and we just make the assumption, well, Peter really failed in that one, right? No, the 11 guys in the boat did. They never got out of the boat. Peter's the one that succeeded. He tried and he failed, and Peter got back up again after he had been, as the scriptures say, sifted by Satan. Satan had gotten permission to actually bring some things into his life to see how he could be tested. And Jesus allowed it. And sometimes Jesus allows things in our lives that, although we don't understand, we come out ahead of it and we're stronger because of it. Number 2, you can overcome. You can, by the power of the Spirit of God and the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb, you can overcome. Listen, I love Proverbs 24:16. It says, "The godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again." What will they do? They will get up again. Say it with me. They will get up again. That's right. We have to redefine failure. Here's how I define it in my life. Failure is the price that I pay on the road to God's success. Right? I have had failures in my life. And you look at some of you have this false perception of me. Right? You think, he's... Like, you know that I'm old, so, I mean, that's not a false perception. But he's done this stuff. He's had success. He's financially, family, all of that. What you don't know is that there are a multitude of failures along the way that you have to decide. I had to decide, are those going to define me, or are we going to pick ourselves up, step into the places God has called us, and not let that stop us from living the life that we believe we're to live? Number 3, take faith risks. You cannot please God without taking faith risks. Let's look at this scripture, Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. What is it? Without faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. You cannot play it safe and please God. You cannot bury your talent and please God. You cannot play it safe. Just like Peter in the New Testament. He didn't play it safe. He got out of the boat. You got to take a step of faith. Get out of your own boat. And some of you, God is calling you to take a leap. And it's time to leap into the land of faith. And believe with all your heart that if God is in on this, there is power that I can connect with. Your mind does not have to be unsettled because God has given you a sound mind. He has given you the spirit of love and power in your life. What faith risk is God calling you to take that you cannot play it safe and still please God? What is that faith risk this morning? Would you stand with me as we close our time together? As you take a minute and as we pray, I'd ask you just to reflect on God's word. I'm going to assume that some of you today, just like me and you, and everybody else in here, on occasion, you fear failure. What's your next step? What's your next step? For some of you this morning, even the idea of stepping into faith feels like the step that is insurmountable. But I'm telling you, Jesus came as the perfect, sinless Son of God to give his life on a cross, and God raised him from the dead so that we could be forgiven. God is all-knowing. He is sovereign. But the risk that Jesus took, knowing full well that what he was giving us, the talents, the gifts, the silver in the salvation that he was giving us, could be a failure in your life and in my life if we refused it. He took that risk. He took the risk before we even knew him to say, I'm going to risk coming to earth because my love is insurmountable, and no one can refuse it if they allow themselves to step into this level of faith. And yet, the truth is, you and I can refuse if we fail to take that step. Some of you this morning need to surrender all of your life. You need to surrender all of your life, and we often say this here, but I think it's relevant in this morning that we hold things very tightly, and the fear of failure is one that we hold very closely, many of us. And so I'm going to invite you this morning again to just release that. Hold your fists out in front of you like this again this morning. Clutch them tight. Think about all the things that you're holding on to. Maybe there's a fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear of rejection. Whatever that fear is, would you open your hands a bit this morning and start to release those? Feel the fear leave you. It's a decision you have to make. I can't make it for you. Your neighbor can't make it for you. You alone need to make that decision. But I wonder if there are some of you here this morning that would just step into a place of faith. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. As we pray, I would ask you to just pray this with me. As we pray, make this your prayer. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Jesus, be first in my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe that you died for me so I could live for you. I turn from my mistakes and my sin, and I turn towards you. I want to know you, to serve you, and to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me before I first loved you. You have come that I would have life. You came when I was dead in sin, and you gave me life. And this morning, all over this auditorium, I pray blessing over every single person in this place. I pray, Father, that they would experience a rejuvenation of your love and your grace and mercy. They would experience it like they've never experienced it before. May they know you and the power of your resurrection in their own life. And may we never be the same because of your transformation and the work that you're doing in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. So this morning, we're going to baptize a few people. Baptism is an outward symbol of what has happened inside of us when we say yes to Jesus. The logical next step is then to be baptized. Around here, we do it about twice a year. But the scriptures clearly state, you believe and then you're baptized. It doesn't say you're believed and then you wait about 20 years and then you get baptized. Now, some of us have done that, which is okay. But when you believe, you're baptized. And this morning, I'm going to release those that were registered to be baptized this morning. We're going to release you to go to the back, meet with Carla, and she will give you further directions on what to do. But if there's anyone else in the house this morning that says, that is my next step, then I would encourage you to take that next step. And if you didn't bring a towel or a change of clothes, we'll figure something out. We won't let you go home naked, but we'll figure something out. So if that's you and you believe this morning that you're ready to step out of a place that says, nope, I'm not going to fail on this one. Like, I'm going to step into a place of faith. I'm going to step into a place where I can look back on October the 13th, 2019 and say, that was my day. That was my day. If that's you this morning, you too can step out and go to the back, and Carla will meet with you as well. For the rest of you, I am going to release those of you that are parents. So everybody else just hang tight for a second. But if you have kids in kids ministry upstairs, you're released to go get your kids, and then we'll meet. All of us will meet together outside the front under the marquee, and we'll celebrate with baptism. So you're all released in just a moment, but let's let the parents get out first. And we'll see you. If we don't have a conversation later, we'll see you next weekend.